No one will be that eternal priestly bride but she who has made herself ready.
For the battle is raging, the devil is raging. I don't want to be sleeping while the battle is raging. But my spirit is willing, but my flesh gets tempted. Rise up my soul and stop praying.
Hello and welcome back to the final podcast on the Eternal Unveiling. And I hope it's been as big of a blessing to you as it has been to me. Well, we were discussing last week the beauty of dying to self and the beauty of taking up your cross. And we were reminded that without the soil where the death of the seed takes place, without that, we could not have a root system. And the death of the seed there would be no tree. And indeed, as I said last week, there would be no fruit. So when we go through a very hard night, a necessary time in our life, it is also a time of new vision and growth as we hold on to the soil. It reminds us that union with God depends on us holding on to the cross. And now we're going to go into the third and final step. Remember that the Feast of Tabernacles is the final ingathering of the fruit harvest. We discussed it in our earlier podcast. And because of our death and root system, we begin to grow and bear fruit. And fruit is very necessary because most Christians, a lot of Christians rather, they go for the understanding, the intelligence of the Bible, or they go for the gifts, but very few people desire to go through crucifixion that they might bear the fruit of it. But this fruit, these spiritual children, which is your fruit, who would not be there otherwise to enrich our temporal and mortal lives, have to be born, and someone has to pay the price for that birth. We are no longer a tiny lonely seed once we have died and begun to bear fruit. We now have glimpses of destiny and yearning for fulfillment that seems to be just out of our reach until the fruit starts showing up. We have let go of the fear of letting go, and we have willingly plunged into burial, and we realize that just keeping the little we have is empty. So we subject ourselves to poverty for the greatest release into his full embrace. Now we are no longer alone, and because there is nothing blocking us from the full view of the Father and open codependence with him that knows what he desired when he created us, we are no longer alone because we are bearing fruit. I've called this chapter "The Feast is Here." The fruit we have borne for the third and final celebration is the full meal deal. It is the feast presented to the Father because of the labor or every generation that is given the time to present to the Father their fruit from their labor, from their generation. It is the completed recipe that has been in the making from the very beginning. Now, the Lord of the harvest has the fruit of the earth that he has had long patience for. It's time now. It's also our feast, our harvest, and we will enjoy it together with the Father. He will feed the diners of every age with delight as we eat the marriage supper of the Lamb together. And now for the last main final revelation of this series and the reason for this writing. What earthly event is coming that brings us into that which all heaven has longed for since God first said, "Let there be"? Saints, the Feast of Tabernacles is the next level, and I will explain some of what that will look like. It will be a time when there will be a complete unity with the Godhead and the great cloud of witnesses, along with his bride on earth. It's the time of the full maturity of his groaning creation. It is proof that we have been in those tents of intimacy with him. God will tabernacle on earth through this bride. This book that I've written could easily be called The Bride's Unveiling. Some say that this is God's manifested sons. Whatever terminology you use, it is the time of fullness, when all past, present, and future become one. Friends, we will experience a habitation of God's divine nature in such an intense way that it will prove to the world that he lives in his people. And as Moses' face shined in the presence of God, and as Jesus was transfigured before the disciples, as Enoch and Elijah were immortalized, so we will see such an event. And I hope that you and I are part of that event. I hope we press on to be in that tabernacle of ingathering. I don't know how it will happen, but one thing I do know, it will surpass all biblical and natural history, and it will eclipse all of God's past moves and wonders. This is his moment, and we get to be a part of it. He will unveil a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. She will walk in full glory and knowledge of the Father's will, as her predecessors did. She will call down fire from heaven, translate to other places and other realms of the Spirit. She will raise the dead and even know the thoughts and intents of hearts. I sit amazed when I listen to the tapes of Brother Branham, who could look into the life of a perfect stranger and pull out details about their past and also their very thoughts. And in his early ministry, he would often reveal the very sins that caused certain afflictions. I was thrilled as I read about his many dreams, visions, angelic visitations. And some visitations would be experienced by those in his company on these occasions. My pastor, Lynn Phelps, recently had a dream where the Lord told him that all things would be restored to the church and would even exceed Acts chapter 2 and the days of the prophets and apostles. Well, that coincides perfectly with what the Lord showed and revealed to me. And at this point, it would be unfair and unjust to not allow you to see some of the opposing sides of this last stand against darkness. This great move of God will be opposed. And it'll be a time of great persecution and darkness, and people will lay down their lives. Many Christians will die in the initial onslaught of the war against Satan. But we must remember over and over and over again that we are passing through this world. He will call on us to suffer. And I suggest you read The Heavenly Man, or by Pastor, I can't recall his name, but the name of the book is The Heavenly Man. And there's another book called If I Perish, about a lady who had laid down her life when the Japanese took over their country, and thought she was going to die for the name of Jesus, but she prepared herself for that moment. The churches around the world have lived in such things since the beginning of Christianity. Only America has been spared in its short 200-year history. But now that we are no longer a Christian nation, at least that's what the president has proclaimed over us. We deny that, of course. But God has lifted his protection from us as we go headlong into sin and degradation. We as a nation and as a church have failed our commission to remain a lighthouse of holiness, bringing hope to every dark corner. Brother Yun, that's the name of the man that wrote that beautiful book, The Heavenly Man, Y-U-N. But we have embraced the world's sin and even created new ways to lure the world away from Christ. And the devil has his death grip on us, and he knows he has a short time. And I believe we will be invaded by foreign troops for many months, and much of America and Americans will be destroyed. But out of the ash heap will raise a Christian nation that will continue to evangelize a world that is slipping into the full grip of the Antichrist. I don't know at what point this spiritual climax will happen, but I know that it will be in this generation. I was also shown that at some point, many who are walking in great anointing and power, as previously discussed, would also be told to allow themselves to be taken. They would lay down their life. To write about the reasons and the purposes that are served through suffering and torture would take up another book. You could read some of this through Brother Andrew's writings as he was in prison for Christ, and again under Brother Yun's book, The Heavenly Man. But I know that many Christians under communism and other tyrannical governments have been made to suffer, and many fasted and prayed that they would not yield to temptation, that they would not shame their Lord or betray other believers. There are more martyrs right now in the last 30 years than all history combined, says the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. And Jesus said about death, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. He was anointed to die and live, suffer and rise. We are no greater than our Lord. Oh, I know you might say, well, he paid the price, so I don't have to suffer. No, my friend, he paid the price to purchase you from the hands of the devil and hell and translate you into the kingdom of his dear son. It's a spiritual matter, and we must know when we have the power to take it up in prosperity or when we have the power to lay it down in humility. But in it and through it all, there will be, on this side of the grave, a people who walk in the character and nature and full power that Jesus walked in. It will only last for a brief time, I believe, and then it will be over. The enemy will take his last breath and believe he has won, but those who survive the second day of spiritual time that we are now living in will cross over to the third day in the millennial reign of Christ. Jesus gave an illustration of this third day that is also known as the seventh day. Jesus rose on the third day, so this day of the Lord is indicative of his rising in his people. It is also the seventh day because it was the end of the week and the day of rest came on the seventh day. This speaks of the millennial reign, the seventh day. And in the conversation Jesus had with the Pharisees, he unfolded something special. The Jews were upset again that he had healed a man on the Sabbath, and Jesus tried to explain that if you can circumcise on the Sabbath, and circumcision, of course, was a type of dealing with sin and all that sin brings, well, why couldn't a man be made whole on the Sabbath? So he was saying that on the day of rest, all things broken, torn, and sick were in need. If God is to rest, all things that are out of alignment must be adjusted. So, forgiveness and healing brings the Sabbath day rest to both God and man. This was Jesus' commission from the Father. After healing and forgiving, dealing with both sin and the result of sin, God could look at it and say it is good. Why? Because man is now God, is now in a place that God can rest until he judges the sin of man and heals the repentant and restores everything that has been stolen. That seventh day rest was the fulfillment of Jesus' words on the cross. It is finished. What Jesus finished on the cross was the fullness that was promised and could now come to pass. It was unfolded in three stages. Now it has begun. It will take this completed bride to reach the very last harvest in earth. And no matter who or what is in charge of this world's finances, governments, or places of worship, God will have this completed, filled to completion, full bride. It will be done. No man will get the glory. No dollar, euro, or yen can finance it. No government of this world can protect it or promote it. It is a heavenly kingdom come to earth and a people submitted and committed to God's rulership. No antichrist will rule it or stop it. They are merely bumps in the road. It's the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ walking in oneness with her bridegroom. The war against her will only promote her and accelerate her. In the same way that Jesus said to Pilate, you have no power over me except to be given to you. So the bride will walk in that authority. This then is the path we are called to walk in. No one could take his life from him. No one. It is the same for this overcoming people. They will have their king's humility and his authority, having the power to walk away from the cross, but submitting to the will of the Father and into the hands of sinful man, if that is the Father's will. Think about the fact that Jesus was creator. The worlds were framed by the Word, yet his humility to the will of God took control of his will, and he chose to lay it down. He knew the Father. He knew what was at stake. The Father's will was to purchase you, and only the Son's joint agreement to do it could bring it into being. So, our agreement to walk in fullness is totally conjoined with our agreement to give it all, even to the death of the cross. It is not about living or dying. It's about being. To be conformed to his image. To be one with him. Are you ready? Jesus said he was able to lay it down or take it up again. Are you prepared to take your place? Jesus preached and worked miracles as he said he would do today and tomorrow. And on the third day, it is finished. Thank you for listening to the Eternal Unveiling series. We're going to begin now on the groaning creation, and I hope that you stay tuned. We have many more podcasts to share with you, many more revelations, and many more times of just putting our hearts together and seeing what the Lord has for us, the final generation, as we walk into the third day or the seventh day or the day of fulfillment or the day of the bride and the bridegroom. Hallelujah. This is the day of the Lord. Thank you for enjoying the Eternal Unveiling with me. If you want to purchase our book, you can go online. Our announcer will tell you how to get the Eternal Unveiling and have it in your library. Until then, we'll see you next time on the Groaning Creation.
This podcast has been a production of Brenda Price Ministries. Evangelist Brenda Price has more materials available on this subject, including her most recent book titled The Eternal Unveiling. It can be found at our website, along with other resources we have made available. The website can be found at brendapriceministries.weebly.com.